He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It's the November 17th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. I'm seeing the theme in the market today as sell the news. What news? Well, the vaccine news. Two Mondays in a row, there was a lot of buy the rumor of a vaccine someday. And now you're probably seeing some sell the news-like action in the market today, especially in the Dow, which has been the bigger mover on these vaccine days. It's called the recovery trade. Well, the recovery trade is selling off today. The Dow's down 392. That puts it at 29,557. I also have a pretty strong feeling from a technical point of view that 30,000 feet on the Dow is going to be very, very severe resistance to break through. So we'll see. Am I calling a top in the Dow? Probably for now. The Dow down 392 right now. The S&P down 35. I'd have to look and see where that top was yesterday. But it did hit a new all-time high. So did the Dow. They broke out yesterday, so we can't really call tops yet. You'd have to see them struggle with that 30,000 mark first on the Dow and maybe 3,700 on the S&P. We'll see. It's down 34 points today, the S&P 500. That's 1%. NASDAQ faring a little better, down just a half a percent. Good action in Tesla today, as they'll be joining the S&P 500. We've got the Russell 2K down about 1.5% right now. Crude oil down 28 cents to 41.06. Gold's up 50 cents to 1888. And over at the bond market, we've got a little bit of a rally, sending the 10-year yield down to 0.87. Well, welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with your host, professional money manager Bill Gunderson, in my 24th year behind the microphone, talking about the market, individual stocks, investing techniques, tips. I try to teach on a daily basis, but my real concern is pointing you in the right areas, which is a very important task that I take very, very seriously. I'm calling this, and so is Bank of America, a sell the news sell-off in the market. What do we mean by that? Well, obviously, the rumor's been around for quite some time now that eventually we would have a vaccine. In fact, Pfizer's been teasing for several months that it would be October, and here it is just a little after October, and they announced theirs last Monday, 90% efficacy, 90% efficiency. And you have a little issue, though, with the Pfizer vaccine, that it has to be stored at 95 degrees below zero. Well, they could just ship it to Nome, Alaska, I suppose, but that's not a good place. How does it get from there to here? The other vaccine, Moderna, on the other hand, which was announced yesterday, 2 degrees below zero, just 2 degrees below zero. The logistical issues become a little easier with the Moderna vaccine. And, of course, we still have two more vaccines out there yet, big-time candidates that probably will produce, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. But we don't know the particulars there yet. So, yeah, you know, maybe sell the news on these two vaccine candidates that have been announced the last couple of Mondays. Just from a technical analysis point of view, you know, that's the third leg of the stool that I stand on. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to end up on my head standing on a two-legged stool and a big bonk on the head. I like to stand on a stool of valuation, performance, momentum, and technical analysis. I don't like to buy stocks that have horrible technical patterns in horrible downtrends, catching a falling knife, they call that. But there's also a very important concept in technical analysis. There's major support levels and there's resistance levels. Just as I'm sitting here in my office, there's a floor beneath me. It would be rare for me to fall through the floor here, but it can be done, I suppose, if there was a basement underneath me. And above me, I've got a ceiling that's called resistance. And many times, major milestones, for instance, the Dow right now, which is closing in on 30,000 feet, an altitude of 30,000 feet. Well, I feel like maybe it's a Delta airplane. When the pilot levels off, we've leveled off at 30,000 feet. We're sit back and enjoy the ride, and we'll be in Charleston in about 2.5. Well, maybe the Dow is leveling off at 30,000 feet. That's going to be very strong resistance. I said the same thing about the NASDAQ about 2 months ago when it hit 12,000. And I was right on the money with the NASDAQ. It hit that 12,000 mark, boom, just like bumping its head on the ceiling, and it backed right off of that. And I think 12,000 could be a formidable resistance level. Only time will tell for the NASDAQ. And, of course, that other leg of the stool has to play into this whole equation, and that would be the earnings going forward of the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. And it would seem to me that the S&P 500, 3,600 seems to be pretty severe resistance right now. So we'll see how that plays out. But there's definitely a good reason here right now for the market to be just a little bit apprehensive as it approaches those major milestones in numbers. And that could be a ceiling here for a while on the market. But having said that, it's a market of stocks. Okay, it's not a stock market. It is a stock market, but it's a market of stocks. And there's always things moving within said market, despite what the indexes are doing. I look at the market on a relative basis. If the market's going sideways and I'm finding things that are going up, well, then on a relative basis, that's a good thing. And conversely, that works on the downside too. Okay, well, we had big news coming from Tesla. Actually, it was coming from the S&P 500, or Standard & Poor's. The folks at Standard & Poor's are finally going to let Elon Musk and Tesla into the S&P 500. That's big news for Tesla. Let's see how Tesla's kind of been in a sideways funk for quite some time. Tesla, however, today is up 9.8%. Tesla has major resistance at 500. It's at 448 here this morning. But the news is it is going into the S&P 500. Now, we did see an all-time high on the Dow yesterday. It did close above its previous high that was set several months ago, I want to say back in June. But as you can see today, we are backing off of that all-time high. Yesterday, I saw big action in Boeing. Boeing broke out. You know what? I'm not really convinced that Boeing's big turnaround is around the corner. I see an analyst projected 5-year growth rate of about 4% per year. Well, maybe it'll be better than that, but there's still a lot of obstacles to overcome to get people back on the 737 MAX is number one, and just flying in general. Number two, the financials were very strong yesterday. I saw a lot of the banks moving. The oil stocks were very strong yesterday. So it was a contrarian move in the market yesterday. But it's been my observation that these contrarian moves in the market don't last for very long. I'm not seeing a big cyclical shift away from cyclicals or away from growth and into value or away from cyclicals, away from technology stocks rather, and into the cyclicals. It just seems like you see these moves for a day or two, and then we kind of fall back into the same pattern. Global markets kind of mixed overnight. We had October retail sales come in. Trailing estimates, not as strong as hoped for, but there is other big news out there on the markets today, which we'll get to here in a bit. It's Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, the market's improved a little. The Dow's only down 308 now. It was down about 400 when we started, so maybe by the end of the show we'll be back to even. I don't know about that. The NASDAQ is down 48. It has also improved a little bit, about 10 points here during the break. October retail sales come in at 0.3%. Month over month, we were expecting 0.4%. Well, that's not the biggest disappointment ever, but it did miss the consensus number. Here's another one. Here's their reasons. Bank of America's Michael Hartnett. He's a strategist. I don't know if he's their chief market strategist or just a strategist. He says a topping process is underway. He says his bank's most recent fund manager survey shows soaring investor sentiment following the election and the announcement of two apparently successful vaccines. Well, I pointed this out yesterday, the soaring investor sentiment. That's usually a very good negative indicator. It's an inverse indicator. When sentiment is really hot amongst individual investors who are usually wrong, that can be a strong sell signal, or at least a yellow flag. He also says allocations to equities jumped to their highest level since January 2018, while cash plunged to its lowest level since April 2015. Now remember, this is just one analyst. If you're a big bull, I'm sure you could go out and find somebody that agrees with your opinion, too. But this is in the news today. One of the biggest market calls I saw as I traveled through the newswire this morning. He says more than 91% of those surveyed see a stronger economy in 12 months. Well, that depends on COVID, and that depends on, how the economy, people getting back to work, retail sales, things like that. But he thinks it's just a little bit too buoyant out there right now. Now, here's his final comment. We're close to full bull, he says. Well, my show's been called fullable, but not full bull. That's a new term for me. Hartnett, Bank of America strategist, says we're close to full bull. In other words, he's calling a top in the market. Biden meets virtually with major CEOs. He's meeting on a virtual conference call with General Motors, Microsoft, Gap Stores, Target Stores, and several others today. Also, AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka, and several other union bosses. And, of course, President Trump has not conceded the election yet. SEC drafts new plan on auditing of U.S.-listed Chinese companies. Okay, well, that can only help. China's been inviting this, actually, saying, go ahead, audit our companies. Come on over. Come on over to China. Well, I think the U.S. is saying, no, you come here. We'll audit it all here. And I did notice yesterday that the current SEC chairman, Jay Clayton, is going to retire at the end of the year. So we'll see what the SEC has in store for the future of this industry. But obviously one of the major plans it does have is tighter auditing of U.S.-listed Chinese companies. Pfizer sets out a pilot delivery program for COVID-19 vaccine. Well, now they've lowered. No, it's 94 degrees below zero. The pilot delivery program is being closely watched as the vaccine must be shipped and stored at 70 degrees below zero Celsius, which equals minus 94 Fahrenheit. Significantly below the standard for vaccines. Most vaccines are 2 to 8 degrees or 36 to 46 degrees Fahrenheit. So anyways, that does prove to be a logistical problem. But they're going to test it out. They're going to send some vaccine to Rhode Island, Texas, New Mexico, and Tennessee. They're different sized country or states. They have diversity of population. They have cities of all different sizes and whatnot. They have urban and rural settings, so that's why those states were chosen. The company expects to have enough safety data on the vaccine from the ongoing large-scale late-stage trials by the third week of November. Okay, that's the second part of vaccine approval. Number one is that it works, and number two, that it has a good safety profile. New state COVID restrictions unveiled across the nation. Okay, so there's a wild card in the economy going forward, obviously. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy announced stricter capacity restrictions for both indoor and outdoor gatherings. Thanksgiving turkey with the extended family may end up in the deep fryer this year as governors and local leaders across the country impose fresh measures to slow the spread of surging coronavirus infections. Similar messages and some mask mandates were delivered in Michigan, which has been exceptionally hard on folks, Washington, North Dakota, Ohio, and Iowa, while California took it a step further, ordering many non-essential businesses to close in 41 out of the 58 counties. You know, there's a lot of people across America that have been hurt mightily by this whole COVID-19 business. And we got to really feel for the folks that have lost their little restaurants or their gift shops, their boutique, whatever, bakery, whatever the case may be. It really is heartbreaking to see the fallout from all of this. Well, California, as I say, back in lockdown mode. They seem to be the strictest. Now, we're here in South Carolina. We're pretty much back to normal, although most restaurants are keeping their capacity at about 50% on just voluntarily. I don't think they're forced to do that anymore. Our churches are back, but at about 50%. Capacity. Our church is A through M or something like that, 1 week, and then the next week they'll let in the N through Z's, okay? So that's how it's working here. And I notice a lot of folks without estate plates here in our neck of the woods. Most of them are from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York, lockdown states. Probably bringing their COVID with them. J&J tests two dose regimens for their COVID-19 vaccine candidate. They're getting very, very close to some kind of announcement. But it would seem that all of these vaccines are going to require two doses. You got to come back for seconds, like 4 weeks later. In the meantime, Cryoport selling off today. That's the transportation company that has freezer planes and freezer trucks. But we'll see. I like that stock. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the second quarter. The market has improved quite a bit, actually. I'll just keep talking until we get to zero. Ah, that might take till tomorrow. The Dow is down 284 right now. It's at 29,667, just 334 points away from a pretty big even number of 30,000. Even numbers can be in technical jargon, major resistance levels. We'll see. The NASDAQ has also improved a little bit. It's only down 38 points right now. Okay, this has been one of the fastest earnings recoveries since the 1980s. And who predicted it back in March? Well, there was a writer for Seeking Alpha that I follow, and maybe you should follow, named Bill Gunderson, talking about a very quick V-shaped recovery in earnings in the market. And I wasn't very popular. I was the contrarian by far. And now as I look back on this, you can look at the shape of the recovery in earnings. It's about as V as you can get. And now you've got the analyst out there. Data Trek Research says earnings are, this is the fastest earnings rebound since 1980. Okay, well, their numbers are a little bit off here. I'm looking at, we had record earnings last year for the S&P 500. Record earnings, $163 per share. That was an all-time record. And since the bear market of 2009, earnings bottomed out at $60 per share. $60 per share in 2009. And last year we had $162 per share. Earnings have been growing every single year since 2009. I think that's pretty good proof of the thesis that I teach here all the time. Indexes and stocks follow earnings. And they have for the last 12 years. But then what happened in 2020? COVID came to our shores. And earnings estimates started to plunge. But next year's earnings estimates pretty much stayed in place, okay? So this year, we're going to have our first drop in earnings in 12 years. We're going to go from 163 last year down to about 137 this year. The market priced that in about 6 to 8 weeks back in mid-March through mid-April, priced in that drop. And then it started looking ahead to 2021 earnings, which will begin in 6 weeks. Those earnings stand at $168. That would be back to record earnings again. But I put an asterisk next to that $168 in earnings. That's without a corporate tax hike from 21 back up to 28%. Tesla joining the S&P 500. As I mentioned before, you know, there was some talk that they didn't like Elon Musk and this and that. But it's going to be the largest company ever to be invited into this exclusive club. Yeah, I mean, Tesla is a $423 billion market cap company. I'm not quite sure why it wasn't invited to the exclusive club before. But now it apparently, and we don't know who it's going to kick out. There's some speculation that they'll kick out Apache, which is an oil company, and replace it with a more politically correct Tesla company. We'll see what happens there. We're getting upgrades on Tesla today. CFRA reiterates a strong buy rating on Tesla after yesterday's announcement of S&P 500 inclusion. CFRA maintains a price target of 550, which works out to 96 times 2022 PE estimates. Well, I wouldn't be running into Tesla right here myself. That's all I could say. We don't own Tesla. The valuation is not impossible. I suppose somebody can justify it to me, but I can't justify it. Amazon makes waves with launch of a pharmacy business. You know what? Here's a company that eventually His book was The Everything Store. He wants to control the distribution of just about everything in the world. You know, I don't really like going to the pharmacy and standing in line with a bunch of sick people while I'm shopping and whatnot, and, you know, standing there waiting for my prescription. Amazon is going to launch a pharmacy business. How many pharmacies will this hurt? Of course, they bought PillPack a while back. This is not really new news, but now it's coming to fruition. It's no longer a rumor. Amazon Pharmacy will allow customers in the U.S. to order prescription medications for home delivery, including free delivery for Amazon Prime members. Well, sounds pretty convenient to me, okay? Amazon Pharmacy will accept most forms of insurance. Doctors can send prescriptions directly to Amazon Pharmacy, which has tools to verify that a physician legitimately ordered each prescription, or patients can request a transfer from existing retailers. Okay, Amazon Pharmacy. And who's selling off on that news? CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Cardinal Health, McKesson, etc. Okay, JD.com. Oh, we'll get to that in a bit. Costco. Look at this. If you own Costco, you're getting a Christmas present. An early Christmas present or holiday present, whatever the case may be. Costco fires off a $10 per share special dividend. Well, that's nice. If you own 1,000 shares, you're going to get a check for $10,000 in the mail. Go spend it at Costco. Walmart beats by 15 cents, beats on revenue. Okay, why don't you own Walmart, Gunderson? It's been pretty strong this year. It's a 2% grower. It's a 3% grower. It's not that double-digit growth at all, although they did have 16. This is the best quarter they've had in a while. COVID has really helped Walmart. They've had two of their best quarters ever due to the big boost they got from COVID. They're one of the stores, one of the chosen ones, that did not have to close down. Walmart stayed open. Home Depot stayed open. Lowe's stayed open. Drug stores stayed open. Grocery stores stayed open. And all those stocks did well during COVID. Walmart is currently ranked about number 1,200 in my app. It's the sluggish growth, and I think these two quarters that they've just put together, strung together, are probably anomalies and will kind of settle down as the vaccine effects from the vaccine across our economy start to kick in. Home Depot beats by 15 cents. They beat on revenue. That stock is down 3.3%, however. Maybe the best has been priced in. Home Depot had two blowout quarters in a row. Yeah, you know, that may be part of this sell the COVID vaccine news. It probably not going to get much better for Home Depot and Lowe's than it has been. Look at this quarter Home Depot reported. Their earnings up 26%, sales up 23%. That's pretty good for a $292 billion company, but the stock down 3.1%. I think that's kind of a sell the vaccine news victim there, HD Home Depot. And Kohl's, which continues to struggle to keep their doors open, oh, I guess they'll survive. But now they're down to a $4.2 billion company. You know, at one time, Kohl's was about a $12 billion company. They've lost about two-thirds of their value. They did have a good earnings report. They beat by 44 cents, and they beat on revenue. So there you go. You got three more S&P 500 companies coming in and blowing away earnings estimates. This has been a fantastic quarter for earnings. 84% of the companies reporting in the S&P 500 have beat their earnings estimates. That's a record. One last one before we go to break. Ericsson. You know what? I'm starting to warm up a little bit to Ericsson, this telecom infrastructure company out of Sweden. 5G is helping them. They forecast $31 trillion 5G consumer revenue by 2030. Oh, they're not going to get all of it, but if they could get a good piece of it, Ericsson, E-R-I-C, which has been rising in rank in my app. We'll come back with a couple of hot stocks. This is Bill Gunderson.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, the market's kind of settled in here. Dow down 277 right now. NASDAQ's only down 14, however, seeing a pretty good little comeback there. It was earlier, I think it was down 58 points or something. We have a new article out today on Seeking Alpha. You need to follow us on Seeking Alpha. We try to get out one article per week. There's 7,700 people that are tracked as writers and analysts and stock pickers, I suppose, on Seeking Alpha. We're in the top 1.6%. That's not bad out of 7,000, and that's based on the returns of the stocks that we write about. Maybe that's some kind of validation of the methodology that I put together of combining valuation with momentum and strong technical patterns. It's not easy to get those three attributes all together in one stock, but when we can find that, we get pretty excited. Doesn't matter if it's a big mega cap or a little micro cap. And of course, as far as all analysts and professionals in the industry, TipRanks tracks 14,777. I'm ranked in the top 4.3% when compared with all of those people. We have a brand new article out on Seeking Alpha today. You can check it out at seekingalpha.com. Yesterday I teased about a little stock. It's a hot little thing. Okay. All of a sudden it showed up on my Best Stocks Now app, A-plus momentum and all this and that, and bells and whistles going off. And I looked at it and I thought, yeah, you know what, it's like a Chinese firecracker. And it is a Chinese stock. I'm not here to just bring your attention to it, and then I'll go into my featured stock of the day that I've chosen. CBAC Energy, which is the symbol CBAT, is this little bottle rocket that just took off out of nowhere. What do? They make lithium batteries for electric vehicles and electric tools. Boy, anything having to do with electric is electric as the electric parade continues on Wall Street. CBAC Energy, which is CBAT, one that showed up on my radar a couple of days ago, but it's pretty hot to handle here. The featured stock of the day is going to be JD.com. They reported earnings yesterday. We have an article out on JD.com, maybe a month old, maybe 3 weeks old, something like that. It's a mega cap stock, $130 billion company. It has that rare combination. The valuation meets my criteria. When I look out over the next 5 years, at JD's valuation based on their growth rate and their earnings expectations and a multiple that I think the company deserves 5 years down the road. I get a stock. My target price is 170 on JD, and it's currently trading at 87. It pulled back a little bit yesterday, but it's rebounding today. They came in a little bit softer with their quarterly earnings report, but suffice it to say their earnings were up 72% year over year. Their sales were up 36% year over year. That's pretty good numbers for a $134 billion company. Their earnings have been growing by 83% per year over the last 5 years. And you want me to own Walmart, which is growing by 2 to 3% per year? If it's true that stocks follow earnings, you would think an 83% growth rate. Now, that's in the past. How about going forward? Well, the growth rate going forward is pretty lofty for JD, and it's pretty soggy for Walmart. So, to me, it's an easy choice, but to each his own. Does it pass my performance test? Yes, with flying colors. The stock up over the last 12 months, 154%. We've done really well with JD. In the meantime, during that same period of time, the S&P's up 16%. That's a lot of alpha. Almost 10 times the return with no guarantees going forward. Over the last 3 years, the stock has delivered an average annual return of 46% per year, the market 12%. So almost four times as it lapped the S&P over the last over the last 3 years. It also has a very strong stock chart. It's currently ranked number 125 out of 5,501. It was ranked number 31 2 days ago. It dropped a little bit yesterday. It had a little sell-off, but it's been one of my top-ranked stocks in the app for quite some time, and we continue to own it. It's a very large position here at our firm. Well, what an hour it has been. I had a good time. I hope you did. You know, we can talk further. After the show, I've got some advisors that would be happy to talk to you about your portfolio. This could be a kind of sell the news, the vaccine news type of sell-off in the market. It may be time to just recalibrate a little bit. It is a market of stocks, after all. That's why I like being unconstrained, because something's going to start rising to the top again. And that's the good part of a relative ranking system. I don't care if it's in the most in the bond market, or if it's in the mega cap, or if it's in a dividend player, or if it's in a an aggressive growth stock. There's a portfolio that fits your needs, and a lot of times we mix these portfolios together to create our own little asset allocation. Our take on asset allocation is being in the best places now. Age is a factor, but it's not the main factor. Conditions in the world, conditions in the economy, conditions at the Fed, all of this plays into determining one's asset allocation. So if you'd like to talk to us, if you're not happy where you're at, I know a lot of people that aren't, give us a call at 855-611-BEST. That's a toll-free number, 855-611-BEST. And then check out our different portfolios and how they've done and try to figure out which ones you're most interested in. We publish them in the newsletter every single weekend at GundersonCapital.com. You can see what we own. You can see what we've produced. You can see what we think about the market going forward. The Gunderson Best Stocks Now weekly newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Put us to work for you. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.